Hello, everyone. Welcome back, and thank you for joining us on the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast, where every week, Jeff Glover will dive deep into the questions that you're asking. He understands the challenges you're facing on a day-to-day basis because he still works every day on the front lines of real estate, with him and his team closing over 1,000 homes per year. On this episode, we'll go over step 7 in the Glover U sell system, lead generation. On this step, Jeff will teach you how to optimize your time to organically improve your lead generation. Now, let's hear from Jeff Glover on step 7 in the 20 steps of the Glover U sell system.
Now, I wrote down, just because I know it's like more appealing and sexier to say, lead generation, but the reality is it's prospecting. So you can write lead generation, you can write prospecting. Step 7. I'm sure you were wondering where this part was going to come in. We had to go through 1 through 6 before we got to this. So I wrote down, we need to accept the fact that if we want to sell real estate at a high level, the lead generation piece needs to be part of the daily routine, just like any other appointment. So what's the best time to actual prospect, right? I hear this all the time, and even on the break, somebody came up and said, oh, I'm a little better in the afternoon or evening, which, by the way, I understand. You might be. I get the question all the time. What is the absolute best? When should I get my prospecting in? When should I be doing this? Okay? Well, let me tell you something. Back in 2007 or 8-ish, we had one of our first ISAs. Kate, I think, was number 2 in the company. This person was our first ISA. I don't remember. Anyways, his name was Ryan. He lives in Holland, Michigan now. And he came to me, he was a student in my training class, and he said, Jeff, I have no interest in going on these appointments. I have no interest in doing admin. I have no interest in presenting. Can I just stay back and like make calls while you go out and present? Sure, no problem. Let's do it. So I wanted to know, honestly, when was the best time of the day to get results? And so what we did, we had in the basement of our office, a few of you were with the company, so you may know what I'm talking about. In the basement of our office was like a little fishbowl office, and we all did our prospecting and so forth down there. And basically I said, Ryan, okay, here's the deal. We're going to do a 3-day study. For 3 days in a row, from 8 in the morning until 9 at night, I'm going to lock you into this office. I'm going to bring you food. I'm going to bring you water. You can only leave this office to go to the bathroom. Dinner is coming in. We're using the microwave that Kate bought for $50. And I'm bringing you all the food you want throughout the day, but you're staying in this office from 8 in the morning until 9 at night, and we're going to figure out when is the best time to call. And here's what we discovered. Every hour, whether it was 8 to 9 or 10 to 11 or 2 to 3 or 5 to 6 or 9 or 8 to 9, every hour, we at least, if we didn't get an appointment set, we at least generated one good lead. Of course, there were some hours where we had a higher contact to the time ratio, right? From 8 in the morning until 9 in the morning, we talked to 15, 16 people. From 2 to 3 p.m., I think he had 6 conversations. But what we found is every hour, there was at least one great lead or one appointment set. We did that for 3 days straight. So there is no such best time. We just recommend the morning because I want you to get it out of the way. Because if you get it out of the way, then you're likely, of course, to let everything else fall into place into your schedule versus putting it off and putting it off because you're busy or things come up. Your energy's higher in the morning. The enthusiasm's higher in the morning. It's best if it's done in the morning. So let's talk about the top 10 sources of business that we are sharing with our agents at Glover U. And of course, these are the top 10 sources of business at JGA, right? So we're only sharing the stuff that we know is working. And this is in order of importance, or in order of results, if you will. Number one source of business, past clients and past client referrals. Past clients and past client referrals. This is the number one source of business for us last year. We follow a very simple formula, which we're modifying. I don't know if we're going to get to 42 touches when we're only doing like 9. It might take us a few years, but the formula we have been following, Scott, I'm going to need some help from you. 4 pieces of mail. We call it the 4-2-1 formula. 4 pieces of mail, 2 phone calls, and 1 client event. Pretty simple. And it's our number one source of business. 350 or so transactions a year come from that alone. 4 pieces of mail, 2 phone calls, 1 client event. We've modified it. We've stepped up our game. Again, it's probably not going to be 42 this year or 55 events, but we're stepping up our game there. And you know what's interesting about that? Past client and past client referrals didn't become our number one source until we made a decision to do 2 things. Became our number one source when we made a decision to improve our customer service, because I was always taught early on, which is not good advice, oh, you sell their home quickly, or you get them into a home quickly, and that's good service. What else is there to talk about? Well, I honestly thought that if I did enough of that and provided good service, I'd have a lot of past client referrals. Well, that was pretty far from the truth, because the reality is you actually have to be conscious about giving good customer service. So probably 5 years ago, we hired a consultant to come in and look at our business from start to finish. What we're doing, what we're missing, what we're not doing, what we could be doing better. And in that consultation, one of the observations was, you're not, for as much as you're doing in terms of new business, and for as long as the business has been in existence, which at the time was 10 years, you're missing the boat on a lot of past client and sphere of influence business. Only a few of your agents are excelling at this. Clearly, there's something wrong on the company level to where this should be your number one source at this time. So, 2 things took place. We, number one, consciously made it a focus. And number two, in those meetings of how to improve our customer service, discovered a question that we had to ask ourselves. And I can tell you every year, which some of those that raise your hand that are in the half-day sessions, I think I share that with a lot of you. Every year, we write up a question on a whiteboard. Our operations team does this on an annual basis. And the question is, what can we do, change, or implement so a client never has to call us first? What can we do, change, add, implement, so that way a client never has to reach out to us first? And that made a lot of sense to come up with answers for that, because what is the number one thing we hear a lot of times when we're taking over a client that's not happy with their previous agent? Oh, I always had to reach out to them. I never heard from them. Anytime we talked, I had to reach out to them. So we identified a total of 67 opportunities to where we could get ahead of them and reach out to them before they had an opportunity to call us. I mean, you guys know, right? Let's say, for instance, you've got a seller. They have an appraisal. It's coming up. You know, the appraisal's today at 4 o'clock. Appraiser shows up at 4, does their thing. Appraiser's out of there at 5. You get a call at 5:01. Hey, appraiser just left. Okay. So did it appraise? I'm sorry. The appraiser just left? Oh, yeah, he just left. And you know, he walked around a lot real fast, and he missed a few measurements, and, you know, I'm a little nervous because he didn't have any questions for us, and have you heard anything yet? And he just left? Yeah, no, that's going to be like 3-5 business days. That doesn't go well, that conversation. And those of you that do a lot of business, you know what I mean when you take those calls. So what if there was something, as an example, that you could put into place where it triggers a phone call, or it triggers an email, or it triggers a text, and notifies them of the exact appraisal process when the appraisal is scheduled, and that they'll know within 3-5 business days their results, as one example of the 67. So I'm not telling you that we've solved them all. I'm just telling you that every year we look at the list and we say, okay, there's one, there's one, there's one. Let's get better in those 3 areas. What can we do to improve that? Right, one of the things we rolled out this year for our associates was what we call the Agent Assist Program. And that is essentially taking some things off their plate, which is going to improve the overall customer service and customer experience. It's not about solving it in a day or even a year. But if we can identify 3, 4, 5 areas every single year to improve the customer service, we can get to a point where the ROI on our past clients and sphere of influence trumps everything else we do. And oh, by the way, it took us about 5 years, but as of the last couple years, past clients and past client referrals is our number one source of business. Number 2 is our sphere of influence and sphere of influence referrals. And the reason why that's number two is because, generally speaking, past clients and past client referrals, they've already done business with you, right? They not only know you, like you, trust you, but you're proven. That's the biggest difference between sphere and past clients, and why it's my belief that you should put more effort and energy into past clients than sphere. See, I think a lot of people combine the two, and I think it's okay because, of course, you know, client parties and things like that, you're going to have both. But I would actually recommend, and we coach agents, to separate the two and to put a plan, a specific plan together for the past clients and past client referrals, and then a plan together for the sphere of influence and sphere of influence referrers. Because ultimately, that's just a notch below. Because they know you, like you, and trust you, but you haven't proven anything to them yet. They don't have a personal transactional experience. Number three source of business for us, for sale by owners. When the market was hot, like we saw, there was a lot of for sale by owner opportunities. There was a lot of sellers that had a lot of confidence, and they're sticking these for sale by owner signs in the ground, which I've been saying will change when the market softens. So if you're a for sale by owner agent in the room and you do a decent business from for sale by owners, if I'm coaching you today, I'm going to say, what is your plan to continue to get more business from for sale by owners in the next market? Well, wait a minute, what do you mean? This, what I've been doing is working. Well, yes, but if the market softens and consumer confidence drops, then that means there's less for sale by owners actually sticking a sign in the yard, which means there's less leads to call on. Now, there is a little silver lining in that, because if I'm sitting in the audience, I'd say, yeah, but if the market softens, more are going to have to hire us. Absolutely. But that number pales in comparison to the amount of opportunities that you'll have to go after for sale by owners. So I am actually predicting that for our business in 2019, the next one, which is number four, expired listings, I think this will flip-flop. I think expireds will move to number three and for sale by owners will move to number four for us. Obvious reason why, there's more opportunities. If a lower percentage of the listings are actually selling, then there's more opportunities for us to call. Just like with for sale by owners, if less of them are confident they can sell on their own, less of them are going to stick a sign in the yard. So of course we're going to work both. However, we have many agents that love for sale by owners and aren't big fans of expireds. And of course, we're working with them to teach them how to master expireds. And maybe instead of spending 30 minutes a day on expireds and 60 or 90 on FSBOs, flipping that, 30 on FSBOs and 90 on expireds, for instance. Our number five source of business, which for those of you in the Michigan market probably wouldn't be surprised by this, mass advertising. Mass advertising. And I think it's important to point out, because I don't think a lot of people know this, I've been doing this 17 years. I didn't spend $1 on advertising until our GCI was over $1 million in GCI. Not a dollar. No Zillow, no Realtor.com, no billboards, no TV ads, no Tigers. Nothing on advertising until we got to $1 million in GCI. And then as a company, with our agents, we made the decision to reinvest into advertising, which of course took us to the next level. But we didn't start with that. And the reason why I want to share that, because I get a lot of people to say, oh, gosh, you must have had this big marketing budget, or you hit the lottery, or you know, your parents must have been in the business. No. This system I'm sharing with you today is the system I followed, and we added advertising when it made sense, when the GCI was over $1 million. Point number six, internet leads is another source of business for us. Our sixth, these are in order of the sources. Internet leads is our sixth source of business, which, oh, by the way, is probably surprising to a lot of agents when we have a lot of clients. They come to us and say, all right, well, internet leads is like my number one, and it's your number six. How is that possible? Well, because we're doing other things to generate business that don't cost as much money as internet leads. Now, of course, the mass advertising costs a lot of money. So we work with a lot of clients where we're actually coaching them out of spending as much money as they're spending on internet leads and to growing the business more organically, which is how I did it. Number seven, source of business for us, the just listed, just sold, and circle prospecting. Many of our agents that work with us are at JGA. They take a listing, they sell it. They're doing everything they can to make sure everyone in the neighborhood knows about it. whether it's a postcard mailing followed by a phone call or a door knock followed by a postcard, some sort of combination of making sure the agents know or the homeowners know. I personally used to love these calls or these door knocks because it would kind of break up the routine of, you know, calling the expireds and then going to FSBOs. It was kind of like a nice break from time to time. I would actually play a game with myself early on. If I didn't have an appointment to go on, this was like my penalty. It was a penalty, but at the same time, I enjoyed it because I knew I was accomplishing something. What was I accomplishing each day? I was going out and getting out in front of somebody. If I didn't have an appointment, I would go knock on doors around a neighborhood that I just sold a listing, or it might not even have been a listing of mine that I sold, but it was a neighborhood I wanted to be in. Hi, my name is Jeff with ABC Realty. I'm stopping by to let you know that a listing just sold down the street. And we know when one home sells, usually two or more sell right away. So I was wondering, when do you plan on moving? How long have you lived here? Where did you move from? And I'm having this dialogue at the door because my penalty was, if I'm not getting out in front of somebody, if I'm not going on a listing presentation or a buyer consultation, I got to go see someone. Because it goes back to that whole, if I didn't go present, seriously, what did I accomplish? Our number eight source of business, and I usually did that around, you know, 4, 5, 6 o'clock, right before dinner, 4, 5 o'clock, if I didn't have an appointment. Our eighth source of business in 2018 was agent referrals, agent-to-agent referrals, going to events like this. As our network continues to grow, you're going to meet a lot of agents that follow the same system that are in different parts of the country. Obviously, we're going to be moving this around the country. You're going to meet a lot of agents that refer business back and forth. If you would have asked me 10 years ago what I thought about agent-to-agent referrals, I said, I don't have time for that. It's our eighth source of business in 2018. Number nine, online referral sources. Online referral sources / reviews. Online referral sources / reviews. Meaning these are direct reach outs based on Zillow reviews or just online sources, things like HomeLight. You know, some of them you have to pay a referral fee on, but for the most part, we get a lot of organic opportunities because we put a big focus on our client reviews. We developed a 5-star program. And then finally, rounding out the top 10, and I was so mad when it made the top 10. Open houses. I know. 2019 and we're still doing open houses. I don't get it. They work.
Thank you for taking your time to join Jeff today on the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast. To take the real estate self-assessment that begins the Glover U Sell System and have a member of Glover U get on a call with you to create an action plan to improve your score, go to www.gloveru.com/self. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe. Search for Live Unreal with Glover U on iTunes or Podbean and subscribe today. Until next time, remember, what can we do, change, or implement so the client never has to call us first?